CO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's back in Washington after cutting short his trip to the G7 summit in Canada as the Israeli-Iran conflict rages on. He told reporters on Air Force One.
They should have done the deal. I told them, do the deal. So I don't know. I'm not too much in a mood to negotiate.
We are learning more about the Minnesota man who's been charged with murder in the deaths of a Democratic legislator and her husband. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
Prosecutors say 57-year-old Vance Belter carefully planned his Saturday morning attack on not two, but at least four Minnesota Democratic state lawmakers and their families.
A former L.A. physician is facing the possibility of up to 40 years in prison after agreeing to plead guilty in the ketamine overdose death of Friends star Matthew Perry. Legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
The sentencing guidelines don't take kindly to people in positions of power that abuse that position of power.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Wisconsin Democrats are looking ahead to 2026 with big ambitions, full control of both the legislature and the governor's office. That trifecta was a central message this weekend at the party's annual convention. Delegates elected a new party chair, Devin Remekar, who says Democrats need to rally around a strong economic message.
We need to be very clear and consistent in our messaging. You'll probably hear me say a lot that we are the party that fights for the working class, defends our rights and freedoms, and protects our very democracy. I think that that is really at the heart of what the Democratic Party needs to stand for right now. We're going to repeat it in as many mediums as we can.
Remekar, former executive chair of the state Dems, beat out William Garcia, chair of the La Crosse County Democratic Party, and longtime Democratic strategist Joe Zepecki. But he faced some criticism over the food served in his hospitality suite, escargot and prime rib, with some saying it clashed with his working class message. Remekar pushed back.
I will say I was delighted to have a Wisconsin Supper Club theme at my hospitality suite last night. We did have prime rib, but it was a Saturday night, and that's a Saturday night special here in Wisconsin.
Remekar replaces outgoing chair Ben Wickler, who has far outpaced Republicans in fundraising in the last 6 years. Wilker eventually endorsed Remekar after initially saying he wouldn't take sides.
Especially given that I've been so in front of the scenes and Devin has been more behind the scenes, helping make things happen inside the party. I wanted to give credit where credit was due and share what an extraordinary strategist and leader Devin has been in the party already, because I thought that would help equip voters to make the best decision as they cast their ballots in the chair's race here at the convention.
Remekar begins his 2-year term on July 1st. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams, with a career-high 40 points in the postseason, asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't want to give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open and taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray, on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 70s to near 80 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Same for tomorrow, scattered rain and thunderstorms with a half inch or more of rain possible tomorrow, or high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin.
Chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4, I'm joined by Senate candidate in Iowa, J.D. Scholten. He's running against Joni Ernst. I'm joined by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and State Senator Dora Drake, talking biennial budget. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north at 8:06 on this Tuesday morning, June 17th. And still ahead, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO is going to be here. Dan Schaefer will be along at the bottom of the hour. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. But first, from the text line, responding to Fred in Cottage Grove, who says, am I too late for the tickets? Been busy and have not checked my phone. Yes, Fred, you are several days too late. The Scani Summer Text to Win contest ran through last Friday. But thank you for the immediate paranoia. I went crazy, Parker. Quickly looking, like, did I miss? I'm looking over here. I'm looking to see if other stations' text lines, do they have words that are text in? So, Fred, who needs coffee? My blood's pumping now, thanks to you, buddy. Yeah. That's how this works. So, no, I do not have tickets for you. Also on the text line, and we're going to hit up Brittany and Chad Holmes with this as well. When I mentioned that it's National Eat Your Vegetables Day, yeah, or Eat Your Veggies Day, however it was, we had some comments from, I think, Alicia says, oh, hey, I get my fresh veggies delivered today. So she is it a veggie subscription that she's got maybe going here? And so then we got from Luke Mathers, we got, you know, corn, because you said corn was a favorite vegetable.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, people are going to push back, including the handsome and capable Luke Mathers, who says corn is a grain. Vegetables don't exist. They're an illusion. All things you think are vegetables are truly something else. I could go down this rabbit hole for hours, which I was like, yes, by all means. And then Alicia says, I would contest that vegetables are the umbrella over all the groups of food that are considered vegetables, which is kind of breaks your brain if you think about it for a bit here. But
yeah,
I mean, so that gets into the is a tomato a fruit? Is a corn a vegetable? Is it a grain or whatever? Brittany, none of us are master gardeners like no. Kristen Lyerly. We should have got her to talk about this instead.
Did we forget to ask Hans about this?
Hans is a dairy farmer. His view on vegetable farming is probably going to be a little different.
His credentials are far closer to this than ours, Pat.
Milking a cow is now closer to being a vegetable farmer than Chad Holmes running things, calling high school sports, Mr. Holmes. Wouldn't you agree? Take yourself off mute before you answer that question, though, of course, first. He's going to think about his
answer. I tell you, I am so stupid. Come on here. I come on with my mute on because I don't want to be making noise in the background, and then that's all you talk to me, and then I open my mouth and nothing comes out.
It's like, yeah.
I Now I forgot the question.
Do you get into these discussions about whether certain things are a fruit or a vegetable or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I think along that line that you can talk about whether it's fruit, vegetables, and there's so many other areas of life that you actually kind of get into where people kind of disagree whether or not the parameters fit within, you know, the two guardrails. I think that's kind of a microcosm of a lot of discussions I think we have. You can maybe even make politically with guardrails. So
we're getting so that way. Deep. We're getting so deep on what is a vegetable, man? You know, Alicia's point out there. Brittany, any input on what's a fruit? What's a vegetable? What's your favorite? What should be banned?
I could care less what you call it, but I love all of it. Fruit, vegetables. I'd probably say green peppers. I'm obsessed, weirdly enough, with green peppers. I can just eat them straight. I can bite into them like an apple. I'm a weird one, but I love them.
There is one substance on earth that is like kryptonite to me. Ooh, and it is green peppers. Let's say you order pizza, and let's say that it is an otherwise perfect pizza. I love to get like pepperoni, sausage, mushroom. If there is one little bit of green pepper, because you know sometimes when they make a pizza, they grab from the ingredients and things spill over. If there is one little green pepper on that pizza, I can smell it. It has this immediate gag reflex, and I will not just throw the pizza away. I will find an incinerator to burn it first.
You can probably still, with the pineapple.
You can probably still smell the green peppers on my fingers because last night on my way home from work, I stopped at the store. I bought a frozen pizza along with with a green pepper and an onion to add to my pizza. Oh.
I wish I could communicate to our listeners what Pat's face just did.
I cut up the green pepper and I put it all over. Lots of green peppers on that pizza.
I was an extremely picky eater as a child. I have come leaps and bounds in all the things that I eat now that I didn't eat as a kid. But man, there is something about green peppers. I don't know what, but
I get you. I'm with that.
I don't know if I can come on the show anymore after this.
You and Brittany just want to do green pepper talk?
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Head over to North Hudson where they do Pepper Fest, you know, every summer.
Hey.
Speaking of Master Gardener Kristen Lyerly, I did send a note asking how they were doing because I know there was a tornado warning up where she was in the Hibbing area.
Yes.
And she texted back saying, "We're all good here. We did have to pull a bunch of patients into the hallway until the tornado warning passed, but I don't think there's severe damage near me. They're just not used to tornado warnings up north the way that we are. They're pretty rare in northern Minnesota, which is ironic since Judy Garland was born up there."
Yes, she was.
Before that whole tornado thing took her away to the land of Oz.
Isn't so that ironic?
But it got really, some of these cells were super strong, Brittany. And, you know, we got more showers and thunderstorms in the future here.
Yes, it was a pretty scary night last night up in Minnesota. And of course, that tornado watch extended into portions of northwest Wisconsin, where one storm did stay strong. And that storm earlier in Minnesota produced a tornado. So it's a good thing that it weakened as it moved into Wisconsin. And like Kristen said, yeah, they're not used to these strong storms that far north. I mean, they get thunderstorms, but usually they don't pack a tornado. So that was a rare evening. Now today, we're calm this morning. Nothing's really going on. We've got a few clouds hanging on up north. Temperatures in the 60s. There's sunshine down south. Temperatures in the 70s. And today we are going to warm things up. It is still sticky, kind of muggy out there. Highs will reach 80 degrees up north, near 90 down south. And down south, you're in a risk for some marginal thunderstorms today, probably starting around 4 or 5 or so this evening, kind of ending around 9. And a few of those could have some gusty winds and some hail with that. Now, this is, of course, into the Madison, Milwaukee area this evening. Up north, we're going to stay mainly dry. And then tomorrow, another big low-pressure system targets the entire state, and it's going to move in probably by the afternoon, right around noon or so, and it's going to turn widespread as we go into the evening. Pretty heavy rainfall is expected in places, southern half of the state, where we could see 1 to 2 inches of rainfall, which, of course, puts us in a risk for an excessive rain, which causes flooding. So keep an eye out for that. So a wet night tonight south and all day looking at some rain statewide tomorrow.
All right. Keep an ear out for that local forecast then. Brittany, thank you so much. I'm going to go talk to Chad some more about green peppers, if you don't mind. So
give it to him. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you a little bit later on. First, again, our reminder as usual, you can sign up for our Up North News daily newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. And if you can't catch this show live and want to listen by podcast, head over to Spotify and be a subscriber, or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. But we'd love to have you a Spotify subscriber as well. So Chad has been covering things around Wausau, which have included far less sports than it used to be as the sports season finally winds down. I was joking with Jimmy Cuska yesterday about how, you know, you guys, this is like the closest thing you get to a break where you could, you know, hibernate for a while before you have to start covering high school football again. Or does it not feel like that yet?
Oh, this is, I mean, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever you want to say, in terms of I have a pattern in my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have this circle.
This circle that goes around, whether it's a week, a month, or a year, and this is the time where you do kind of take that step back, because between the winter and the spring, it gets very busy and hectic and a lot of running around, and it's actually nice to be able to go home and cut my green pepper and have a meal at the normal time and not have to wait till 9 or 10 o'clock after getting home from doing a ball game or something like that to enjoy a meal.
And then I wanted to ask as well, because you do sometimes head over to play a little poker in some of these tournaments. Is this the time of year where you might be contemplating that again?
In about 3 weeks, I will be heading to Vegas. And in fact, this year I am crossing off a bucket list item.
Ooh.
I've always gone out there, but I've never played the main event, which is the big one, the number one tournament, the world championship event. And I'm going to do that this year. So
wow.
I'm flying out there, and the 4th of July falls on a Friday. So it's nice to have that little extra day. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking vacation the following week. And I'm flying out there, and on the 4th of July, I will be sitting in for the main event of the World Series of Poker. So,
wow.
I've been putting away for it for a couple of years, and I've decided I'm going to splurge a little bit for once.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Yeah, good luck. It's going to be a lot of fun here.
It's going to be hopefully a lot of fun. I just want to make sure I don't get, you know, sit down and then get busted in 10 minutes or something like that. But
well, you know, it's like all those reality shows, you know, where somebody's like the one who gets cut in the very first show. And you really don't want that to be you, but it does
and
happen.
If I win it, then you have to get somebody else to fill this spot.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. And you'll be, and guess what? You'll be their first guest. But as you're leaving for whatever island you're going to go live on, you know,
I'll be the next Kreitlow who went off to an island for a while. Right.
That's exactly. Trust me. I can recommend. Yes. So getting to some sports that are decidedly not high school. But I wanted your impression because, I mean, I am firmly in the Shohei Ohtani fan club. And so last night, 21 months after Tommy John elbow surgery, he was back on the pitcher's mound and did give up a pair of two-strike hits, did give up one run, but he also hurled one of his fastballs at 100.2 miles an hour in his return to the mound. And then after retiring a batter for the third out, Ohtani did not go to the dugout. Instead, he put on his batting gloves and other equipment and walked over to the on-deck circle to lead off the bottom of the first inning. This guy, Chad, I don't have to say anything else. This guy.
I know. I mean, it truly is. We are seeing a guy that is Babe Ruth. I mean, for those folks 100 years ago, I mean, Babe Ruth started as a pitcher and then became a pitcher hitter. And then they decided, well, we're not going to pitch him anymore. Ohtani's a little bit different in that he wants to be that two-way guy. He wants to be that pitcher. I saw an article just the other day saying, well, you know, why bother with this pitching? You know, it's like he is such an incredible hitter, but this is an amazing thing that we're seeing. I mean, as you said, these 100 mile per hour pitchers, I mean, there's a reason why these arms are blowing out. They don't pace themselves anymore. And I just think that that's partly the team's fault because they don't, it's not the, well, after six innings, I'm too tired to go out there. It's because they go out 100%. Right. There's no thinking man's game in terms of the mound. But for Ohtani, I mean, just an amazing, amazing story. And it's just, I don't think people really appreciate it, to be honest with you.
I don't either, which is why I bring it up in segments like this, because, again, here's a guy that's been recovering from surgery for pitching, and yet he's still hitting. He's batting .290. His 25 home runs leads the National League, along with 41 RBIs already. The guy's just a phenom. So when he took the pitching mound last night for the Dodgers, I just wanted to call attention to it and allow us a few minutes to ooh and ah about that. Chad will be talking much more local sports, local news on his local updates on 98.9 WXCO and, of course, on the Civic Media app as well. And he visits with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You too, Pat.
All right, Chad, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Again, 98.9 WXCO on the Civic Media app. Some of you will get a local update. The rest will be back here for a bit. And in 15 minutes, Dan Schaefer from the Heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Old Falls Radio, WXCO.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
And good morning once again, everyone. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online from online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, changing positions here. This was with Pat Kreitlow as a guest, and now back in the host chair here for our local segments at 22 and 52 after the hour in the 7-8 o'clock hours. And a quick note that we are now putting all of our local segments on the website. It's part of our news website. You can get all the local segments in one convenient lumping. So basically about a half an hour, because we get 15 minutes in each hour. But I will get more information on this and let you know about it, exactly where it is. But starting yesterday, we have our WXCO news update from our newsroom and also our local segments here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all part of the news segment at WXCO.FM. And I will get further information on that, let you know exactly where to find it, but go to the website. There's so much interesting stuff there, whether it's podcasts or news stories or sports schedules and everything else at WXCO.FM. Also coming up a little bit later on, as part of that posting for our local segments here on the program, we have what are show notes. Embedded in that story, you have a link to listen to the 30 minutes of our local reports here from WXCO, and also there will be a link for the entirety of our interviews. We had in the first hour, we talked to cast members and the director of Into the Woods, but we didn't have the entire interview. I had to actually edit it slightly because they came in yesterday after the show and we recorded. And then I put it into a couple of 7.5-minute segments. But we actually had more that we talked about than we had on the air in the first hour. And we will have a link to the entire interview. We'll have a link to the YouTube video of our conversation as well in our show notes for the morning segments here on 98.9 WXCO. I know I probably haven't explained it perfectly well, but check out the website. Well, check out the website, WXCO.FM. And you just heard the voice of our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I should have got you involved in our conversation with the cast and crew of the show this weekend, Into the Woods, but you sat back and just did the recording and everything else. But it's another opportunity for folks on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Again, Friday at 7 o'clock, Saturday at 2 and 7 p.m., Sunday at 2 at the Venega Theater at UWSP at Wausau.
That's right.
Central Wisconsin Children's Theater and Into the Woods. You just had a show there a few weeks ago, and now another show there coming up as well.
Yeah, the Venega Theater is going to be very busy these next few months, especially since Wausau Community Theater has just announced their 2025-26 season.
You are exactly right.
Not sure if it was last night or today.
No, it was last night.
I saw it this morning.
Yep, so I saw it last night on their Facebook page. And five shows. I mean, they're getting very busy at WCT.
And they have some very impressive shows.
Yeah, they're going to have Home My Darling this September, Sweeney Todd coming in November.
A lot of my friends are excited about that one.
A Christmas Carol in December. The 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee will be in March of 2026. Mm-hmm. And then next summer in July of 2026, more than a year away, Rock of Ages. So,
oh, yeah.
Man, real full schedule. And, I mean, it gives you five more opportunities to think about getting involved with these shows as well, I'm sure.
Well, it's definitely nice to have the a look at the season ahead of time, because then I get to plan out, you know, okay, what shows do I really want to audition for and which ones do I just want to see? But whatever I do, it is definitely going to be a fun and interesting season. And they're still looking for directors for Sweeney Todd and A Christmas Carol and The Spelling Bee. Mm. They already have directors for the Rock of Ages musical, but if you're interested in being a director for these shows, you can actually go to the WCT website and fill out an application to be a director. But you better do it quick, because the forms are due by the 22nd of June, because we only have 5 days.
And it's a wonderful opportunity for those folks who may have been involved in theater, may not have taken that next step to be a director. I mean, I remember back when I was going to school at UW-Marathon County and were part of the student theater group, and had a couple of my friends and classmates who decided to write a show, and then they also had a couple of that decided to direct. And I know that it was a great learning experience. It was a lot of fun, and it was for them, and it was like they found out different ways of looking at productions. It made them better performers when they were turned back to the stage as opposed to directing. So obviously great opportunities, as we talk about all the time, with the community theater, with the independent theaters that we have here. Did you have your audition last night?
Yes, I did. I was able to audition for A River in Woods' Shakespeare in the Park for the Comedy of Errors. We actually had a pretty good turnout of people last night. And if you're still interested in auditioning, tonight is the final night of auditions. So you can go to the River and Woods Facebook and find the sign-up sheet and still audition if you are still able and have time.
It's really amazing the opportunities that folks have here. We've talked about this again a lot when it comes to the arts and the opportunities within the arts here in Central Wisconsin. I mean, whether
we're truly blessed.
So much going on. By the way, the topic for the number for the day, which we'll have coming up.
Yes.
It is Italian restaurants.
Ooh.
Italian restaurants. So we'll have that coming up.
I like Italian. That's good.
Yep. You're one for one this week. So we'll have that coming up at the end of the final segment of the program.
Awesome.
We'll be back in about 22 minutes at 8:52. But coming up, we have an information update. And then back to Pat Kreitlow. He'll be talking to Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. When a school district doesn't have enough money to operate or build new facilities, they ask for tax increases in a referendum. And now, some state lawmakers want to put a stop to it. Joanne Krulatz explains.
At the Capitol, a bill to restrict how school districts could request tax increases through referendums had a public hearing in the Assembly Education Committee on Thursday. Delafield Republican Representative Cindy Duchow says too many districts are asking for more money. She wonders how much money is too much money for school districts. Eau Claire Democrat Christian Phelps says districts are already practicing fiscal responsibility by asking their voters for a tax increase and wondered why Republicans would want to strip local control from schools. The bill is unlikely to be signed by Governor Tony Evers if it makes it through the legislature.
A newly proposed legislation in Wisconsin would allocate $30 million to schools across the state to improve security measures. Under the bill, each school would receive a max grant funding of $20,000 for things like shatter-resistant glass, reinforced doors, cameras, and security training for staff members. And Republican state lawmakers are proposing new legislation that would create a pilot program for the use of virtual reality technology inside of schools. Under that program, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction would select one urban and one suburban and one rural school and distribute 3,200 VR sets to 16,000 students. The goal, of course, is to use the headsets to get those students more engaged in math lessons. Similar programs in other states have seen success with using these, as the virtual reality has improved math scores. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Law & Order SVU star Mariska Hargitay has had an incredible 26-year run on the show as Captain Olivia Benson. She has a side project that recently screened at the Tribeca Film Festival called My Mom Jane. In the documentary, Hargitay talks about her famous mother, Jane Mansfield, who was killed in a car accident in 1967. That is pretty much common knowledge, but what is not is that a 3-year-old Mariska was not only in the car with her mother, two siblings, and two other adults, but that she actually went missing after the accident. Apparently, authorities came to the rescue of Hargitay's two young siblings who were in the back seat with her. While taking her siblings to the hospital, her brother Zoltan woke up and said, "Where is my sister?" First responders went back and found Mariska, who was so small she was lodged under the passenger seat. Mansfield, her lawyer, and driver were all in the front seat and were killed. My Mom Jane streams on Max starting June 27th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 70s to near 80 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Same for tomorrow, scattered rain and thunderstorms with a half inch or more of rain possible tomorrow, or high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night, I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow, back from adventures in Canada, will be joining us to break down the news. Retired Major General Randy Manner will be here as well. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Dan Schaefer coming along in just a moment here. First off, a reminder. Earlier in the show, I was about to promote my Facebook page, which for the longest time was called Pat Kreitlow Up North, because I'm still here at Up North News, founding editor of Up North News. We started Up North News Radio, but then we made that show change to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. So I changed the name of the page to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, but I realized the website name still said Pat Kreitlow Up North, and so I can proudly announce that I fixed this all by myself and that the new URL is up. So if you go to facebook.com/morningswithpatkreitlow, you'll find the page there, my professional journalistic political page, whatever you want to call it, where I also stream the show. Though it'd be better if you listened on one of the Civic Media radio stations or Civic Media Facebook, Civic Media YouTube, Up North News Facebook, Up North News YouTube, but it's on this page as well if you care to follow along there. And even if you can't spell Kreitlow, K-R-E-I-T-L-O-W, you'd be able to find it. Search long enough and it's there. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Pat Kreitlow as well. So, fresh new shiny URL for the Facebook page. From the text line, Jim in Brookfield. Hi, Pat. Is it only a green pepper dislike? Do you eat red, orange, and yellow? They add a lot to a stir fry and taste great, though I agree green peppers not so much. It's an excellent question, Jim. Yes, I have had red, orange, and yellow peppers. I don't seek them out, but if they're in something that's served, you know, I do eat them. They're still not my favorites. But, I mean, they're okay. I think any peppers, jalapeno, otherwise they really enhance a food, but I'm not crazy about them by themselves. But there is just something about green peppers, and I can't explain it. I'm just saying it's there, and clearly that's why Chad Holmes and Brittany Merlot are never going to invite me to dinner, and if they do, I know exactly what they'll be serving. Here's a young man who eats all of his fruits and veggies on this National Eat Your Veggies Day, Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area. Mr. Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. Thank you so much for having me on. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And glad to hear about the new Facebook page and all of that. Good stuff. Being all tech savvy.
Yes, and a picky vegetable eater as well. So were you a picky eater growing up? Or are you one of those that you eat anything and everything?
A little bit more of a picky eater growing up, but not so much now. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we can be adults.
I'll have some green peppers on pizza, maybe if you do like peppers and onions and mushrooms kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were in the Dells at the state Democratic convention over the weekend, which I would have done if I didn't have that previous commitment to Canada, not realizing that in visiting friends there, I was going to spend an extra day against my will. But that was the airline's fault, not anybody at Immigration's, Customs Enforcement, anything like that. So while I was in Canada, you were in the Dells. They elected a new chair. I'm sure they talked all about next year. And I imagine that one can go to the Recombobulation Area in the very near future and get some of your takeaways from the convention.
Yeah, I had a couple stories that I posted over the weekend while I was there. I had an opportunity to interview the keynote speaker for the event, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock. So go check that one out at the recombobulation area. And then I wrote a story about the chair vote on Sunday with Devin Remiker coming out ahead over Joe Zepecki and William Garcia. It did go to a second round of rank in the ranked choice vote there, which I thought was pretty interesting. But so you can read that there. And I'm also writing a kind of a longer, what recombobulation era readers will, be accustomed to reading after big events that I cover, you know, 10 takeaways is typically, what I will do there. And I'm finishing that up now. You know, it was my number one takeaway on the list as I'm going through it here, is it was really the Ben Wickler show. It was, you know, Ben Wickler celebrating his, the end of his run, his 6 years as chair of the state Democratic Party. He took the stage. I lost count of how many different times that he took the stage over the course of the week. Obviously, some ceremonial duties bringing it in and out. But he also delivered a 17-minute speech of his own, a really powerful one. He also joined Senator Tammy Baldwin during her primetime address to kind of have a conversation between the two of them. Instead of just hearing the senator speak. And, you know, so much of what was talked about was, you know, just the last 6 years of his leadership and what that has meant to transform the party. And I think in so many ways, if we look from 2010 to 2018 in Wisconsin politics, we can characterize that as the Walker era. Perhaps 2019 to 2025 could be characterized as the Wickler era.
Oh, I think that's entirely fair. And that is not a knock on Tammy Baldwin or Mark Buchan or Gwen Moore or anybody else. But I mean, it is a pace that he set. It is, you know, a fundraising era of productivity that will probably be unmatched in state Democratic Party history. And look, I know at a convention, folks are naturally upbeat. Even Democrats, sometimes they do form circular firing squads and things like that, which is why I asked this question. Yes, they celebrated Ben Wickler. Did you feel like the delegates were in a healthy place going forward? Or did you get a sense that there was a lot of, you know, woe is me, Ben Wickler's going, the party is going to lose momentum and things like that?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of optimism. I think, you know, just from throughout the weekend, I think, you know, even though there was a lot of competition between, especially between the top two candidates, Remiker and Zepecki in the race, I think most people liked both of the candidates and just had to decide which of the two candidates they liked more. But I also think, you know, it's just, yes, they're Wicklers are big shoes to fill. And as I grabbed a quote from the Wisdom's treasurer. I don't know how many other people were taking note of that particular speech in the convention, but Treasurer Randy Udell, who is also a state representative, he said that the party operated at an unprecedented scale in 2024, raising nearly $70 million, saying this performance exceeded that of any state party across the country. So that is quite the legacy to leave with the party and some big shoes to fill. But I think overall, the mood, I think the spring election results have absolutely reinvigorated the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I do wonder what this convention would have been like had that election not happened, had it been, you know, just coming off of the loss against Donald Trump last fall. You know, if that was the main topic that people were thinking about, but I think with the spring election, any mention of Susan Crawford, any mention of defeating Elon Musk got just raucous applause in the building. So I think that those results from April, you know, certainly had an impact nationally, but obviously had a clear impact on the state of mind from Wisconsin Democrats, that's for sure.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area and Civic Media's political editor from Tony Up and Ashland on YouTube. I think the next era could be Representative Mark Buchan, really liking what he's doing recently. Bernie Sanders even mentioned him as someone to watch. That wouldn't surprise me. And I think part of that, I'm not giving Derek Van Orden credit here, but could be the Van Orden effect where Mark Bocan felt like, well, somebody's got to stand up to this guy, or he's just going to bully his way through and truly be Wisconsin's next Joseph McCarthy. So, but it's not just Van Orden. Mark Bocan has been increasingly vocal about what the Progressive Caucus among House Democrats should want and what they stand for.
Yeah, he's been, I think his profile is certainly rising in a number of ways. He's had some high profile moments questioning members of the Trump administration. And yes, he was there at the convention this weekend. He delivered a speech too. He talked about, dealing with Derek Van Orden and how he, Mark Pocan of the second district, has held more town halls in the third district than Derek Van Orden has this year. So he's really making an effort there to really put Mr. Van Orden on notice, and boy, doesn't he need it. You and I know that well.
Oh, do we ever. So you wrote this column last week asking if Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term. At any point, were any food products thrown at you during the convention, or people just coming up to you just to boo? Anything like that? How were you received in the Dells this weekend?
There was a lot of feedback about that column. I will say that a lot of the conversations that I had were off the record, so I'm not going to share any of the details with that. But I do think there were a lot of people who I would say are more receptive to it than what you might see publicly right now. I'll just say that. Didn't have any problems with the food and the drinks and all that. Didn't wake up with any arrows in my back. Or anything like that. It's one thing to write a column like this, calling for a very well-liked Democrat to step aside and not seek another term right before the convention. But, people can disagree without being disagreeable. I think there are a lot of issues that are fake both sides conversation. I think this is an actual both sides conversation. I think this is one that I think there can be a case to be made that Evers is the right person to run again. And obviously I made the case that he'd be better off passing the torch. And so Evers did not give any indication on what he's going to do in his roughly, he had a fairly short speech, about between 10 and 15 minute speech that he delivered at the convention. Obviously he had a presence there. He had an ice cream hospitality suite going during the afternoon of the convention, very on brand for the governor. But there was really no indication of whether or not he would be running, even though the theme of the convention overall was the road to 2026. So I think clearly it's going to be a big question going forward. The party had some decisions to make this weekend. This was had people talking. This column did, but any takes on it, might be forthcoming in the weeks ahead. Who knows, though?
It was it's a very earnest question, and some very earnest emails have come in. We made it our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter. Should Governor Evers run for a third term? Folks can respond to it themselves by sending us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. I read through some of them yesterday, and I will through the course of the week again, but I just wanted to second that note that this is something that people feel very genuine about. I won't say strongly. It's probably something they weren't thinking much about until recently, but they have some very genuine feelings about, whether he should or should not run for another term. And for folks saying, well, is this going to have an impact on next year's race? I would point out that the election is still, just under a year and a half away. This convention weekend will be a distant memory by that point.
That's true. And, the governor has said that he's going to make this decision after the budget process is over. There's some things we could talk about when it comes to the budget process.
Oh, but wait, there's the budget process. We started the program this morning with that social media post from Chris Kapinga from Waukesha County saying, well, if I got to vote for what joint finance my fellow Republicans are giving me, well, maybe I just would rather not have a budget at all. I think to a degree that's actually telegraphing what Republicans might want to do. And I'm giving you all of 30 seconds to tell me if you think it's a real possibility or not that Republicans would just not send the governor a budget.
I think it's interesting. We also saw how the Scott Walker boosted that comment from Chris Kapinga on his social media feed as well. So that's interesting. We've heard before that they might need Democratic votes in the state Senate to pass a budget. Maybe they just don't even pass a budget at all.
It's so very possible. Yeah, exactly. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and political editor for Civic Media. A local update is coming up for some of you. For those of you hanging here, we'll have some final news and notes from our visit with Dan Schaefer. And then tomorrow, we've got Melissa Baldoff. We'll talk about the climate, Melissa Kay, James Kelly, Earl Ingram, Todd Alba. And remember, you can follow my team at Up North News all day long through our newsletters, social media, website at upnorthnewswi.com, and of course, right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then, consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. A mild start here on this Tuesday morning. The time is 8:53. Overcast skies and 68 degrees in downtown Wausau. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. And again, at 22 and 52 minutes after the hour, in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours, we have our Wausau Morning Report with the talk here from our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. And I mentioned as well that you can get our four local segments in one convenient batch by going to WXCO.FM. If you go to the homepage, then you'll see on the right-hand side, it will be the weather, and then right below it, latest news. And you'll be able to get our WXCO News Roundup and then our Wausau Morning Report here during the mornings. And again, we will have coming up in just a few minutes on the Wausau Morning Report on the website, links for the entire interview that we had earlier with members of the cast and crew of the upcoming Central Wisconsin Community Theater production of Into the Woods that is coming up. Central Wisconsin Children's Theater,
yes.
Production of Into the Woods coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So again, you'll be able to get the complete interview plus the video of on Facebook as well. So again, just check out each day. Number one, the news roundup that's put together by our news staff, and then also our morning report if you miss any of our segments here in the morning. Mm-hmm. I just have a quick comment here. We just heard from Dan Schaefer, our Civic Media political director, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, talking about, again, we've heard a lot about this in the past week, his opinion piece that Governor Tony Evers should not run for a third term in office. And I'm not saying that Dan Schaefer is wrong in what he's written. I see the issues. I think that there is a need for some younger Democrats to be involved in the party. But I want to kind of make a couple of points here, just for thought. Again, I'm not ready to advocate either one way or the other. What I am advocating is the ability for the governor to make his decision. And then I guess his thought is, well, once the governor makes the decision, then you can't do anything about it. Well, you can do something about it. We saw that last year. But a couple of points I want to make. Dan said to Pat Kreitlow just a few minutes ago that he had some conversations off the record with folks who may, you know, be amenable to what Dan was writing, that maybe these folks at this point are not ready to come out and say, Governor, don't run. I am not a big fan of this. Well, you know, I was told off the record by a bunch of people how right I was in terms of the writing that I had here. At a certain point, and I've talked about this in the past, when it comes to MAGA and conservatives, about not having the courage of your convictions, of, you know, off the record saying, hey, I disagree with what Donald Trump and Stephen Miller are doing. Mm-hmm. Well, it means nothing unless you have the courage to come out and say it. If these people agree with Dan Schaefer that Tony Evers should not be running, then come out and say it. So I don't take a lot of stock in that right now. At the very least, I'm not going to give these folks credit for anything,
yeah,
for not having the guts to come out and say what you truly believe, if that's the case. Number two, is the only reason that Dan wants Tony Evers to step aside the idea of Tony Evers' age? Is that the only reason? Because Tony Evers consistently over a number of years has been the most popular Democrat in the state of Wisconsin, has been, I would say, a very effective government for the state of governor for the state of Wisconsin. Is there anything within the performance of Mr. Evers that has led to this, or is it strictly because of age? Because in my opinion, age can be a factor, but it should not be the only factor when it comes to making this decision.
I agree.
So again, I just wanted to make a couple of points there. And one other point, I am really tired of the constant trashing of former President Joe Biden. And part of the conversation within this area, I think, is a continued trashing of former President Biden. Yeah. And again, when I talk about Governor Evers' record, I think once in a while we ought to talk about what was accomplished under Joe Biden. Because I think we've seen a lot of things that are being missed by the current administration. So again, I
he accomplished a lot of good things. I think the issue was that it wasn't talked about as much as you know, because the Democrats don't like to brag very much, which in my opinion is an issue, because it's okay to talk about your accomplishments.
Yep.
Just don't be bragging about them all the time.
Yep, exactly right. So
you can be proud and not brag.
Yep, you're exactly right.
I think.
On that note, we're going to turn back to Ian, and let's finish things up with our number for the day quiz. He is 1-for-1 so far this week.
Italian restaurants.
He got it right yesterday. He'll try to clinch a passing grade already here on Tuesday with our number for the day quiz. And you're right, it is Italian restaurants is the topic. Our number for the day is the number of Italian restaurants in the U.S.
Ooh.
So how many Italian restaurants are there in the United States?
Okay, what are my choices?
20,000, 40,000, 60,000.
All in the U.S. 20,000, 20, 40, or 60,000. Okay, I'm going to say 20,000. I'm going to go with 20,000 as my final answer.
Well, you went with the smallest number. You should have went with the biggest number. It was 60,000.
Oh, the biggest number.
60,000, but you're still 1-for-2. You're still above the curve here.
There you go.
All right. Well, Ian, have yourself a great rest of your Tuesday.
You too, Chad. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
And stick around. Coming up, an information update, followed by Matt and Air on Air. And we'll be back tomorrow for our local segments in the 7 and 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. I am Chad Holmes, and this has been Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The International Atomic Energy Agency believes Israeli airstrikes have damaged underground centrifuges at Iran's Natanz nuclear plant. CBS's Holly Williams is on the border between the two countries.
Iran's nuclear ambitions are a threat to Israel's existence. But experts say Israel's war will be in vain unless it destroys the Fordow nuclear site.
A California appeals court hears arguments today on President Trump's order that sent National Guard troops into L.A. to monitor anti-ICE protests. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
I think whatever the court decides in this argument, this is an issue likely to go before the Supreme Court because it really poses who's got the rights.
Retail sales fell sharply in May as consumers pulled back after spending in March to get ahead of the impact of new tariffs. Car sales plunged 3.5% year over year. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.